Welcome back. Part 3, Trimming the Lamb. And today we're looking at the Elijah of Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And before the break, I tried to bring out that God deals with his church now through the fivefold ministry. But there's something we need to also understand. We've tried to look at the restoration ministry, and we tried to give our interpretation to the shout of 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and Matthew 25:6. And we tried to narrow it to the last church age, the Laodicean church age. We've tried to paint it to look so black, so dark, so full of evil, until it necessitated the bringing in of an Elijah ministry, where we put it as a secondary fulfillment, and I have taught that too. A secondary application of a ministry, since Elijah ministry is for restoration, and that is the truth, that if there is going to be a fall away, then there will also be a restoration ministry in this age before Christ will come in the order of John the Baptist. And testimonies abound that William Branham said that the pillar of fire came down when he was baptized on the Ohio River, and a voice came to him while he was baptizing in 1933. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun my first coming, so are you given the message that shall forerun my second coming. And therefore, if John the Baptist was Elijah and Elijah is restoration ministry, then William Branham is Elijah to the Gentiles. And I said that it doesn't have to be Elijah. It means there is a ministry that will be on before, just before the coming of the Lord. And don't doubt it, William Branham had a ministry, but it has nothing to do with Elijah anointing. But it has to do with a ministry that is on ground before the coming of the Lord. And that ministry is what we have tried to place. It's the perfecting ministry. It is the fruit-producing ministry, which we have tried to make you understand through the parable the Lord Jesus Christ gave in Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29 or so. Now, that parable there, the last stage of that before the harvest is the fruit being produced. I've taken time and we've explained that in several episodes of this program here. Now, what I am trying to bring out here is that, yes, according to him, he had a voice assuring him, or rather, giving him a commission or informing him that he has a message that will forerun the coming. But he said, but as John the Baptist was given, so he's also given. Now, that doesn't mean that it will be the same anointing on John the Baptist. It is ministry, not the anointing. It's not Elijah. And it is the ministry for perfection. It is restoration ministry. Now, where I have a little problem is where you tie the total restoration of the shout to the ministry of William Branham. And I say, no, he is only part of the ministry of restoration. He's a man. Like all other men, we are used. Now, you will notice that in John chapter 6 and verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he had sent. That's my emphasis. Believe on him whom he has sent. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus is the one that has been sent, but it is also a principle. Because there are men that he is going to send to restore the Bible. Men that he will use. He used the apostles. Listen to them. Until Apostle Paul was so sure of their commission. He said, if any man preach any other gospel contrary to what they have preached, let him be accursed. And that is why he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edification of the body of Christ. Now, you notice that he sent men. He was going to work on men. And these men, at the right time, God would manifest them. When the shout came up for the restoration ministry, he was going to use men. The shout is the restoration ministry from the dark ages, not from Laodicean church age. It starts right from coming out of the dark ages. And use a man, Luther. And use another man to restore all those doctrines that we had corrupted. He used men, different men. Luther, justification. Wesley, sanctification. Simon, the restoration of the gifts. And others went off, if you read church history, with different doctrines. Until we come to where we are today. And I read several times where William Branham himself, I read quotes from him, where he admitted that we were now in a different age, and that age is the age of perfection. And it is this man, William Branham, that brought all this together, and then another man with his own ministry, but not with Elijah anointing. It's not with Elijah anointing. The Elijah anointing is reserved for the Jews. There is nothing. Whatever you say, that is why they are not able to come to me, because you will only be talking of application, secondary application. Because of these testimonies, I think he fits here. That's all you will show me. And I will tell you that those your testimonies you are using, they are controversial. Those testimonies that you are using, people will argue. Some say it never existed. You see, but when God vindicates a man, it leaves no room for argument. Can't argue with Moses, the sign that God gave him. Can't argue it. Pillar of fire of Moses, it was not photographed. They didn't need to go to a photographer to find out whether it is real or not. It was hanging there. Everybody was seeing it every day. In the night, every day. In the afternoon, they see the cloud. It's not photographed. It's seen. So there'll be no argument at all. And that's why when under that cloud, you saw the manifestation of God. And he said that was his angel. That he will not spare you if you misbehave. God says so. You see, concerning miracle, you don't need a medical doctor to bring a report to see whether somebody healed or not. The brazen serpent was hanging there. So you are saying they don't need doctor. He sent his word, and his word healed them. The Red Sea was there. It parted. They walked through. It's not Moses that will give the testimony for anybody. And prophecies that were given, no argument. Tell me one prophecy that Moses gave that didn't come to pass. Tell me one prophecy that, but there are people that are bringing a prophecy that William Branham gave and it didn't come to pass. So that is not the vindication. We know better. And that is why I am among those presenting the ministry of William Branham better than majority of these preachers or followers of the ministry of William Branham. Because you place him wrongly, and then before you know what, he's deified. He's deified. He's so deified until when anybody tries to touch him, the follower will fight. Deify him. I made an idol of him. But let me tell you, the shout did not start with the ministry of William Branham. The shout started with Luther coming out of the dark ages. Verse 6 of that wine and oil in verse 6 of Revelation chapter 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see, thou hot not the oil and the wine. It is a shout ministry that brought out that revival. That's the revival from the dark ages. So, this first part of Malachi 4, 5, and 6, John the Baptist fulfills it. What of the second part? He says, and the heart of the children to their fathers. He said, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That is before I come and smite the earth with a curse. The last thing that will happen, God moving to save his children, will be the Jewish revival. And they are getting set now for that revival. That is the revival that you see in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 11. In fact, let's read it from verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go. John was the one talking. And take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter. But it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, this is where I'm going. Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Certainly it's not John he was talking to. John is dead and gone, so it's representative of something. He said, prophesy again. When did he prophesy before? He prophesied in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. That was when the revival started. But they lost it. They rejected it. But he said, this revival will take place again in Israel. And how will it take place in Israel? You see, Revelation chapter 7 prepares the 144,000, which are a product of those the ministry of these two prophets. The Elijah we are talking of in part 2, the second part of verse 6 of Malachi chapter 4, is the Elijah in Revelation chapter 11 from verse 1. Let's read it. She said, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread underfoot. 42 months here is 3.5 years. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. That is where we are going now. Power unto my two witnesses. Who are they? And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothing in sackcloth, 2.5 years. Who are they? These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, this is where we identify who they are. Fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. Do we know in the Bible? And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Who was the person that was bringing out fire? It's Elijah. These have power to shut heaven that it rained not in the days of their prophecy. Who had that power? It's Elijah anointed. And they get a power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. That is where we get Moses. So there are the two witnesses, the two anointing. And we see that in Zechariah chapter 4. Maybe let's go to verse 1. Let's start from verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me up as a man that is waking out of his sleep. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of all of gold. with a bowl upon the top of it, and the seven lamps thereof, and seven pipes and the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And what was Zechariah seeing? Two olive trees by it. One upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. And I answered and spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." And then went on and talked, but my emphasis is verse 13. Verse 13. And he answered me and said, "Knowest not thou not what this be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then said he, "These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Who are they? Those two anointing is what he uses. The Moses anointing and the Elijah anointing. And here they are as the gospel goes back to Israel. He goes to confirm the law and the prophets. He has come back again to you. You rejected me. Now their revival, God is going to open their eyes using these two men with this anointing. And you will see how he used them. Go on. Let's go back to chapter 11. You see, verse 7. "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth." Hey. "And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, 'Come up hither.' And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." Now you notice, you know, when God wants to call attention for the whole world to know that that is the vindication of a prophet. You all know that no Jew saw the grave of Moses. No Jew saw the grave of Moses. And nobody saw the grave of Elijah. He was taken up. It's a sign for them to see them before the whole world. The satellite cameras, the whole world is watching people that tormented the whole world. They died, they leave them in the street there for 3 days, thinking they're making caricature of them. The spirit of life comes and they are raptured. Now, see the effect of their ministry. The effect of their ministry is what you see in the fourth seal, Revelation chapter 6, verse 7, verse 8. It says, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast." The fourth beast is the flying eagle, Revelation chapter 4. The first seal was opened. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4. Okay, verse 6 and verse 7. "And before the throne, there were a glass of seal like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion." And that is the beast. Okay. "And the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." Four beasts. These were beasts, the anointing that God will use to counter the four horse riders in chapter 6. when the seals were being opened, the first seal was opened. The first beast said, come and see. And the first beast, just for the purpose of emphasis, you will notice that, let's go to chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals and has at its where the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts said, come and see. And I believe that beast, one of the four beasts in Revelation chapter 4, certainly is the lion. Is the lion. Seal number 2, verse 3. I had the second beast say, that is when he had opened the second seal, I had the second beast say, come and see. I believe that second beast certainly will be the calf. Now, if you go to verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I had the third beast say, come and see. The third beast certainly will be the face, like the face of a man. And what he saw is the black horse. And it is under that black horse that we have the revival of the shout. But the seven church ages end under the third seal. The seven church ages end under the third seal. The Laodicean church age ends under the third seal. Because there are activities under the third seal. It's under the third seal that there is a revival of the shout for the restoration of what was destroyed in AD 325, where paganism and Christianity married and fulfilled the Matthew 13:33 parable of three measures of meal mingled with leaven until the whole meal corrupted. Three measures of meal: justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, everything about the church ends under the third seal. The rapture takes place, then we move to the fourth seal, because the fourth seal is strictly for Israel. You see, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. What is the fourth beast? The fourth beast is the flying eagle. So, brethren, when we say flying eagle is the symbol of our faith, we are eagle, you know we are wrong. If you are referring to those four beasts, eagle is not for us. Because eagle is the prophetic anointing. He reserved that eagle for Israel. Because the prophetic anointing. And watch in verse 8, it says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, because it's a deception, because of that deceptive agreement that they enter into, that the angel revealed to Daniel chapter 9, that deceptive agreement, the covenant that is entered with the Antichrist, is deceptive. And the prophet, I think prophet Isaiah, called it the covenant of death. Why? He says, behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword. Brethren, come back to the Bible and stop this parrot-like repetition where we say the fourth seal is for the seventh church age. This is for Israel. The fourth part, to kill with sword. Is there anybody being killed now? With hunger, with death, on the beasts of the earth. You see, so you will notice that that is a depiction of what will happen when that covenant is broken. That is the period where you will see the Antichrist will rise, the great tribulation. When the Antichrist will rise against the Jews, that is the period for the great tribulation, and that comes under the fourth horse rider. Abraham's quote substantiates what I am saying. In the message he preached the fourth seal, in 1963. Paragraph 195, this is what he had to say. Watch, as he was going to describe this fourth seal. He said, watch, rise a pale horse as he appears on his ride, this last ride. He's on his last now. Now, that is not in our day. That is not in our day. That will be on down. It's the seal foretold. Because see, the church has done gone up when this happens. The church has gone in the rapture before the fourth seal is open. William Branham says so. And he's correct. It's not because William Branham said it. William Branham is saying the truth because that is scripture. When Christ appears here on earth, I read on, this fellow appears and becomes completely the devil from the Antichrist all the way down through false prophet, then into the beast, the devil himself. And he is riding on a pale horse, colored all up and mixed with all kinds of colors to make him pale and deadly. But this happens when we are done gone. So the fourth seal is not for us. The seal for our rapture is the third seal. That it is under that seal the rapture will take place, under the end of that revival that we see in the last statement there. And so, if you look at Revelation chapter 12, where this fourth seal is fulfilled, Revelation chapter 12, the woman, let's read it from verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. You see? And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon her heads, his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. We know who they are describing there, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered. That woman is Israel. For to deliver her child as soon as it was born, Herod did it, fulfilling scripture. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman, this is it, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Why did she flee to the wilderness? Where she had a place prepared of her that they should feed her there. 1,260 days, 70 days. That is 3.5 years. That is the period of the tribulation. It will last for 3.5 years. But there is a place that God will prepare for them. And you're going to know how he's going to prepare that place for them. And there was one in heaven. And Michael, and let's just go a little further. Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. That woman is Israel. Now see it here. And to the woman we are given 2 wings of a great eagle. You see? 2 wings of a great eagle. Those 2 wings are Moses and Elijah with the prophetic anointing. So what is the symbol of our faith? Will you still say it's eagle? Eagle is for Israel. That she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, 1 year, and times 2 years, making it 3 years, and a half, 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Torment. Torment. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. So, the emphasis here is that using the prophetic anointing, the elect of God in Israel were able to hear and know where they will go and hide themselves from the persecution that will come, because the persecution came after the first 3.5 years of the last 7 years that was given to Daniel in that prophecy. So I want you to take note of that. It's important. We're rightly dividing the word of truth. And if we try to bring in a Gentile prophet to fit into that prophecy in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, it won't jive with the scriptures. Using the language of William Branham, it won't jive. That is how far I can go to make you to understand the Elijah of Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. It is Israel. It has to do only with Israel. John the Baptist fulfilled the first part. And after the rapture takes place, then Elijah will come again, as Jesus Christ prophesied in John 17. And Jesus will confirm in Matthew 11 that John the Baptist is the Elijah which fulfilled this part of the scriptures that John the Baptist came to fulfill, even as the angel prophesied. It's very interesting. It all has to do with only Israel. Remember that the whole salvation process was meant for Israel anyway. They rejected him. That is why we came in. Like Vashti was rejected by Queen Ahasuerus, and Esther came in. And she needed a perfecting ministry to be dressed by the chamberlain Haggai. And so I hope with this we are able to get clearer who the Elijah of Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is. It has nothing to do with us. That will manifest after we are gone in the rapture. If you have any further questions, feel free to send your message, your questions to us. You want a contribution, or you have a dissenting voice to what we're saying, contrary understanding, let us know. We want to know if we are misinterpreting any scripture. Feel free to correct us. But so far, we think we are in line with the scriptures. And join us every Monday, 7 p.m. As a pastor, you can ask your question by phone or by text from 7 o'clock every Monday. I want to thank you for taking time to join this program today, Streaming the Lamb. Until we come with the next topic, I say shalom. And may we all serve God acceptably, and may we all remain rapturable. Amen.